Good morning, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving. You all look wonderful. Why don't you just turn to the person right beside you and say, "You look great today." Yeah. You see, it's Thanksgiving Sunday, and you didn't expect that, did you? So there you go. You never know. Our scripture this morning is found on page 512 in the Pew Bible. And if you would like to turn there with me, we'll read just a few verses from Isaiah chapter 40. And let's once again stand in order in honor of God's holy word. We'll just read the last few verses of the chapter, and I'll begin at verse 27 through verse 31. The word of God says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God'? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths will grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Dear Heavenly Father, what powerful words these are. Would you minister them to our hearts today and strengthen us this Thanksgiving Sunday because of all that you are and all that you can do. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And I am thankful this morning. It is now exactly 1 year since Pastor asked us to come and stand on the platform and introduce that you had an associate pastor of discipleship. And I'm thankful for Heritage Alliance Church. You guys are amazing, you know? So I am very thankful for the Lord's church, thankful for each one of you, and for the way that God uses each one of you to encourage us along. So anyway, it wouldn't be my Irish way of preaching if I didn't shed a tear here and there. So now that we've done it at the beginning, it's your turn. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So Thanksgiving Sunday. Now, we live in a world, and if you've been watching the news this week, you see a culture that is kind of chaotic. And you think about the things that we see on the news and hear on the news, Las Vegas, Edmonton, various other places around the world. And it would be interesting, you know, just to stop and think this morning for a moment or two about the pain and agony that goes on around the world. And the world would say to us, "Christians, you're thankful for God. You're thankful in the midst of these kind of things." And I would say, yes, we are. And this text has the heart of why we are. You see, I read these verses, and you've seen them sometimes on a plaque on the wall. You see people who wear t-shirts that proclaim Isaiah 40, 31. You see that verse about rising up as eagles, many places and ways. And although we live in a world where evil acts seem to be on the increase, I would say, dear Church of Jesus, that's a wake-up call for us to be even stronger and deeper in the things of Christ than ever before. But as we think about the subject of thanksgiving today, I thank God that there is an answer that brings us help and hope. For verse 31 says, they that hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. And the problem, you see, is one of strength, isn't it? Our strength is so insufficient so very often. And I thank God this morning, this Thanksgiving Sunday, that God can renew strength. That's one of those moments that gives me that Irish tickle inside that brings hope, that causes me to say, yes! There is hope. In the midst of all of these disasters and things that are going on, God, I believe, is calling strongly to people all around the world, day by day, saying, those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. And as we think this morning about this issue of strength, oh, how we need it. Let me begin by just thinking for a few moments about the problem of a lack of strength. I love how we read in verse 30, it says, he gives strength to the weary. Now, I won't ask you to put your hand up if you're weary this morning, but I suspect there might be one or maybe even two people in here who would say, yeah, I get weary and I get tired. And it happens, doesn't it? But we tend to think always in physical terms when we read that. But you know, our human strength is insufficient in so many ways. And first of all, let me say that, you see people and they seem to be so strong. Oh, they got all the strength that they ever need to go through every situation, and they can always cope and handle things and go through things, and it's amazing. And then there are others of us, and we struggle through endless difficulties. I was 11 years old when at school a teacher was smart enough to understand that I was dyslexic. That's why I couldn't read. And so sometimes if it looks like I'm panicking on Sunday morning, it's still there. And then I got sick at school when they were learning algebra. Pastor, was that your favorite subject? No? Mark, you teach at university. Algebra, your favorite subject? Close. Praise the Lord. You see, but, oh, I struggled and struggled with those kind of things. And there are much more serious things that we struggle with as we grow and become mature adult people, aren't there? There are issues and things that we struggle with and decisions that we make. And it makes us envy those people who seem to go through everything without a scratch. But sooner or later, every human being faces that day that comes along when they must confess, I just can't do it. Now, I'm either under tall or over short, one of the two. And one of my friends is a fellow called Dennis Agajanian. And Dennis is a marvelous guitar player. He plays with Franklin Graham in those festivals and crusades around the world. Fantastic. The guy must have 12 fingers. I'm sure of it. He just makes that thing talk. And I would look at him and say, wow, there is nothing that guy can't do. But one day in a crusade up in Alaska, Dennis called for me, and I had to come quite a ways in the facility to find him. He was in a back room. The music had already started, and the service had already started. And he said, John, could you take this battery And could you put it inside this guitar for me? I can't get my hand inside the guitar. And I realized, well, even this guy can't do everything. You see, no matter who we are, there are ways in which we just can't do it. And it's good for us to recognize our own inadequacies, isn't it? And this is so true spiritually. You see, we can have so much in physical terms. We can have it all together. We live in a culture that says if you just achieve success, you will have it all. But the problem is that's a lie. Because I know people who could write a check for $1 million without a problem, but they would say, I don't have it all. There's something missing. And so this lack of strength really applies to us as well when we think in spiritual terms. You know, we don't have the strength to deal with sin. Sin overcomes us, doesn't it? Why is it that even when we're little, there's that sense of, whew, I'll just try this. I remember a friend who took his little daughter to a basketball game, and he told her, you can't go over that line. And she ran up and down the stairs and got to the line at one point and looked around at her dad and went, why is that? It's because we have a sin nature, and we all have it. We're all born with it. And that sin nature, we don't have the strength to deal with it. We're troubled with sin in our lives. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 speaks about it this way at the end of the chapter. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. The good that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to, that is what I do. And I suspect I'm not the only one who could say, oh, I understand that today. Done some things, and oh, how I wish I hadn't. That sin nature, we need the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that overcomes that. George Whitefield, a great evangelist of hundreds of years ago, was asked one day, why do you always say that people must be born again, that they must know Jesus? And his answer was just profound. He said, it's because you must be born again. There's no other alternative. There's no other place to find the strength to overcome sin in life. And it is there, we all understand that. Maybe in a time of testing, we've been too weak to resist. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I confessed last Sunday up at Rosewood where I was preaching that the day before, as I drove through town here, there was a fella in a nice big Dodge truck about 2 inches behind me, and he was anxious to get out of the way. Now, I was driving the speed limit, but you ever get that sense of push? And I confess I was tempted. And worse than that, I gave in to the temptation. I took my foot off the accelerator, and I moved it over onto the brake. And inside, I said, yes. I thought about that afterwards, and I thought, you know, was that really the thing to do? Perhaps not. You see, there are moments when we get tested and we're too weak to resist it, that sin nature rises up inside us. And we fight against it, but we fail. And then we feel that sense of guilt and shame that comes along. And there's nothing in this world that can touch those two things except the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Only He can cleanse away that guilt and that shame, and bring us to a new freedom in life. And it happens in the fullness of his Holy Spirit, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Sometimes, you know, we get determined that we'll be committed to God. Have you ever done something like this? And you say to yourself, boy, from this moment on, I'm going to be so committed to the Lord. It will just shine through my life forevermore. And so you decide to be super committed, but you don't find the strength inside to carry it through. You determine to pray more. And that's a good thing to do. And you determine to read the Word of God more. Wonderful. And you determine to watch TV less. Or you determine not to use some of those words that come out sometimes anymore. Or you determine whatever it might be. But there's insufficient strength in us to maintain it. And I've talked to many people over the years who say, well, I'm good for a while. Like, I get in the Word and I'm good for a week, and then it just gets busy. And then there's family stuff, and there's work stuff, and there's all these other things. And slowly, that devotional life begins to slide. You know, I worked with a man some years ago, Dr. John Wesley White. He was a Saskatchewan boy. And John taught me something about this issue. He said, I pray an hour every day, and nothing will stop me. And I thought, I'm going to watch him. I'm going to see. Yeah, that'll be like me. It'll go for a while, and then. And I watched him, and I watched that consistency. And finally, I said to him, John, Dr. John, how do you do that? And he said, it's not me, brother. It's Christ in me. And if you want to do that, it needs to be Christ in you, in charge. I remember, talk about under pressure. One time, he was going across the international dateline, and the day that he was in as he went across it was like 1 hour as he traveled. And he spent the 1 hour on his knees in the airplane. You see, it was something so different. A strength that was far more than just what we see and know in our human terms. And perhaps today you might be facing a problem that's too great for you. We so often do, don't we? You sense that you don't have the strength to see this through. Or maybe I'm talking to someone and life has become a burden that's almost too heavy to bear. The Apostle Paul speaks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, I despaired of life. That can happen to everyone, can't it? I remember listening to Dr. Billy Graham in a time of team prayer saying, when we address these crowds of people, it's easy to forget that people live lives of quiet desperation. There it is, isn't it? Sometimes the person sitting beside us or that we're passing in the street is a person living a life just of quiet desperation, looking for the and longing for the loving touch of a powerful God. I rejoice this morning that this God can renew our strength. He can do it spiritually in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do it physically. He can do it emotionally. Our God is in the renewal and restoring business, isn't he? And so there's that problem. We have this weakness. Did you notice this morning we sang about how he gives strength to the weak? You comfort those who are weak. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Secondly, There is an answer. And we see here in verse 31, in the second part of it, it says, they will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not faint. We need that deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the living God. That's what changes things. You know, sometimes people do their best to beat me up, and I'm Irish and stubborn, and I don't mean they punch me, but they'll say things like, oh, you're a Christian, oh, you're a pastor. Well, surely science has taken us past that. And I love to say, might I just remind you that before there was science, there was God. Well, they'll say, well, we don't need that. Surely we don't need that. But oh, sometimes I've been privileged to be present when someone says, I'm going to put my trust in Christ. I'm going to ask Christ to give me the strength that I need. I had a connection with another evangelist when I came to Canada. His name was John Muir, Dr. John Muir. Wonderful preacher of the gospel. I remember him telling me that as a young associate pastor, he went to visit a man in the hospital in Glasgow, in Scotland, where he's from. And he said the man was so downcast, so many problems, everything had piled up, and there seemed to be nothing that was right with his life. And John said, I shared the Lord Jesus with him, and I said to him, why don't you just ask Christ? Just ask him. And he said, when that man prayed that prayer and asked Christ for forgiveness, everything about him changed. It seemed as if there was joy flowing from the inside, where there had been just depression and anger and frustration and all those things. And my friend John went back to the church that he served, and he sat down at the piano. Shay sometimes reminds me of John Muir. He sat down at the piano, and he started to tickle the ivories, and he wrote, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. And it's still true today. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And this Thanksgiving Sunday, no matter what the burden might be that you're carrying, Jesus will gladly carry it for you. Now, much of our weakness comes from our own impatience. When something has to be done, boy, this is frantic. Let's do something. We're a bunch of doers, achievers. And some of the versions say of this verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Our NIV this morning says, they that hope upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I think it's the same thing, because as you wait in hope on Christ, you know that something is going to change. Not something that we can do. You'll find King Saul, the prophet Samuel did not come to make an offering in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And so people were starting to desert the army. And Saul gets into a panic. Ooh, I'll do the offering myself. And he makes the sacrifice. And Samuel comes and says to him, what have you done? And he said, well, people were leaving. Something had to be done. I needed to do it. We all know that human pressure, don't we? But you see, when we work from that perspective, we usually move in the wrong direction. As we wait expectantly in hope for Christ, we'll never be disappointed. God will never require you to do a task without that He will empower you to do it. Now, that's one of those yes moments, isn't it? Because when you're sure that God asked you to do something, you can take all the authority of heaven and go right ahead and step out and trust him. There are times when I have thought, why did I do this? And realized, God asked me to. My daughter Margaret is here today, and a couple of grandkids. Great looking grandkids, they take after their grandmother. A few years ago, she pleaded with me, don't go to that country, Dad. There's trouble there. Don't go there. Don't go there. But it was her son, Lucas, who brought me a scripture text one morning. And the Lord said to me through the scripture, wherever you go, I'll go with you and I'll bring you back to this place. And I thought, I'm going. God, you see, never asks us to do something without empowering us to fulfill it. Sometimes people will say, I don't know how you keep up with your schedule, John. If you were looking at it this summer, you might have thought that. I preached 21 times in July. It's not very wise for an old guy. But God has taught me, never look at tomorrow's burdens with today's strength. You catch that? I don't know who said it, but it stuck in my mind and heart long ago. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, as your days, so shall your strength be. He renews strength. And he can do that for you today. Remember who it is that renews that strength. It's the Lord. We see in verse 12 in Isaiah 40 that he measured the waters in the palm of his hand. You think of all the oceans, lakes, and everything else that there is in this world. My Father's hand is a massive hand. He can hold it, and he can also hold me and you. Verse 15 says, the nations are like dust in the balance. If you go to places like India or China and so on, one of the first things that always impacts me is when I see the step out into the general populace, and it's not like Saskatchewan. There are people everywhere. But my Bible says, all of us are just like dust. That's why we need the eternal God. Thank God, we don't need to try to overcome the issues of life in our own strength and in our own way. So let me look then at the last of these thoughts from these verses, the renewal of strength. He will renew strength. He can do it in salvation of the soul. He can do it in renewing your walk and my walk with Jesus. He can do it in the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, his strength, not ours. In Romans 12, in verse 1 and 2, it tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable act of worship. And not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind in Christ, so that we may know and prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of our God. Now, there's a progression in there. There is the surrender of ourselves. This is why there is so much weakness in the church. Because it has become about our strength. And it has become about what we can do. And it needs to become about the everlasting God and all that he can do. The surrender of ourselves is an act of worship. It's not just what we sing on Sunday. It is something that we need to practice every moment of every day. In Christ Jesus, surrendered everything. And I'll tell you, it makes such a difference. I need to hasten because we don't want to burn the turkey today. But I sat at the corner of Park and Victoria a few years ago. I was turning left onto Victoria to go west on Victoria. And that famous traffic light there, as it went from green to yellow or amber and to red, there was a person going east on Victoria who thought, I can make it. And there was a person turning south onto Park who was thinking, I can make it. And there was this T-bone right in front of me. Kaboom! Bad news. Even worse. After they impacted, they slid right over and hit the front of the car I was sitting in. You know, I had just prayed that morning, Lord, I just want to make sure again I surrender to you everything. All my rights, all my possessions, everything. Now, I could have been Irish and jumped out of the car and ran over to the other two drivers and said, what kind of drivers are you? What do you think you're doing? Imagine, can't you tell when the light turns yellow, you're supposed to stop, slow down, have a look? Come on. Instead, I sat there and I smiled and I said, dear Lord Jesus, somebody just hit your car. See, if it's my car, it's my problem. But if it's his, he'll take care of it. And friend, the burdens that you carry, if they're your burdens, you'll end up carrying them. But if they're his, he'll take care of it, just as he takes care of you. You see, surrender and worship leads to transformation. And as we seek the Lord in his word and prayer, things change progressively. We're filled with discernment, and suddenly we know what to do in various circumstances. And mount up with wings as eagles. And I'll make this one of my last comments. The reason it says they'll mount up with wings as eagles is, you see, the eagle, when he's in trouble, goes higher. And he gets as high as he can get. And he finds a place to lie in the sun. And lying there in the sun, he finds restoration. He finds there's an exchange of those old damaged feathers for some new ones that start to grow. What a lesson. In the brightness of the sun, he exchanges that which is wounded, that which is weary, that which is non-functioning, for that which is renewed and strong and powerful. What better place to lie in the sun than to be in the presence of the living God? This thing that we call the exchanged life, that is something that we can be ever thankful for, my friends. We can walk and not faint, and soar and know that he is the one who renews. There's no easy way to say this, so I'll just say it. You could have come in this morning carrying a burden, and you can leave carrying the same burden. Or you can say, I'm going to trust the word of God, and I'm going to bring that burden to the foot of the cross, and I'm going to leave it there. And I can go home on this Thanksgiving day saying, joyful, joyful, I adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. He'll do that. I'll ask the worship team to come back. And they're going to sing an old song from my hometown. It's a wonderful song. I just invite you to sing along, and then I'll come back And we'll close things out on this Thanksgiving Sunday.